controls the past, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2013, and here's a quick look at what's coming up.
Tonight, as Obama prepares to send arms to al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria, Florida encourages citizens to report their anti-government neighbors, and the IRS moves to spy on your travel, shopping, and social interactions. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
And we begin this evening with the conflict in Syria, where the Obama administration is preparing to send weapons to jihadists who have vowed to destroy America. That's right. It looks like the White House is... they're getting ready to arm al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria. President Barack Obama has signaled that he will greenlight the transfer of lethal weapons to FSA, that's Free Syrian Army militants in Syria, within weeks, despite the fact that such groups are being led by al-Qaeda terrorists responsible for killing U.S. troops in Iraq who have vowed to destroy America. The White House is preparing to send heavy weaponry to groups that have committed numerous terrorist attacks over the last 18 months, including an incident this week where FSA rebels targeted a Russian airliner with 159 passengers on board with two ground-to-air missiles which exploded near the civilian aircraft. And we have documented in the past opposition fighters in Syria are now dominated by Muslim extremists and jihadists who have repeatedly emphasized their hatred for America and have declared their allegiance to al-Qaeda. Or should I say al-Qaeda? And look, now we have multiple reports confirming that the individuals responsible for a number of terrorist attacks, including terrorist attacks that have killed U.S. troops in Iraq, now these guys are actually in charge of the Western-backed rebels in Syria. And if you don't want to believe InfoWars, I mean, we've got lots of sources right here. Let's see, the Washington Post, the McClatchy newspapers, London Guardian, New York Times, take your pick. Here's one from the London Guardian that says that the al-Qaeda militants meet every single day with Syrian rebels in order to train them how to build bombs. But, you know, and who do you think trained al-Qaeda? You know, that would be the CIA. After all, we created Osama bin Laden. This is the anniversary, the second anniversary of his supposed death, if you believe the official government fairy tale. What was it, Doug Stanhope? Marcos, the comedian that said that he's the Bigfoot of people, no pictures of him, and we dump him in the ocean, right? That doesn't make a lot of sense. But hey, we created that Frankenstein or that boogeyman or whatever you want to call him. And look, this is not a conspiracy theory, folks. This is the real world. This kind of stuff is happening right now. And back to that article from the New York Times. According to the New York Times, the Obama administration has already sent well over $500 million in aid to such groups, while the CIA has overseen a secret airlift of arms and equipment to rebels since early 2012. So, the very same insurgents who Obama now plans to arm with lethal weapons are the same guys who have openly expressed their radical hatred towards America. They're out there ransacking Christian churches, burning American flags, singing their praises to Osama bin Laden. Now this, my friends, is an impeachable offense by Barack Obama, arming Al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria and empowering our enemies. And, well, the real enemy to America lies within, I guess you could say. Now, we're going to keep you posted. Actually, somebody just handed me a brand new report, and this is from Washington's blog. The U.S. government worked with bin Laden and his top lieutenant 3 months after 9/11. Former FBI translator Siebel Edmonds has been deemed credible by the Department of Justice Inspector General, several senators, and a coalition of prominent conservative and liberal groups. She's also been a guest on our show a number of times. The ACLU described Edmond as the most gagged person in the history of the United States of America. And famed Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg says that Edmonds possesses information far more explosive than the Pentagon Papers. Edmonds translated terror-related communications for the FBI right after 9/11. In that capacity, she read communications between terrorists and other radicals. Edmonds said last week that bin Laden and his number two Al-Qaeda lieutenant worked with the U.S. government for 3 months after 9/11 to coordinate destabilization in the region. Now, if this sounds crazy, please remember that the U.S. National Security Advisor admitted that the U.S. created, organized, and armed Mujahideen in Afghanistan, including bin Laden, to fight the Soviets. The Mujahideen eventually morphed into Al-Qaeda. The U.S. still funds Al-Qaeda, and the U.S. has backed the most dangerous and radical Muslim terrorist for decades. So be sure to go to InfoWars.com for more information. And, you know, Paul Joseph Watson has an article right there. We will definitely keep you posted as the Syrian conflict escalates. So stay tuned for further reports. Now, I want to switch gears to national news, because if you live in Florida right now, you are being encouraged to rat on your neighbors or to turn your neighbors into authorities if you think they might hate the government. That's right. Floridians are encouraged to report neighbors who hate the government. A $1 million hotline characterizes dissent as an extremist threat. A new $1 million program led by Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, aimed at violence prevention, is encouraging Floridians to report their neighbors for making hateful comments about the government. Man, this is a chilling reminder of how dissent is being characterized as an extremist threat. Now, Bradshaw plans to use the extra $1 million to launch Prevention Intervention. And these are units that feature specially trained deputies, mental health professionals, and caseworkers. The teams will actually respond to citizen phone calls to a 24-hour hotline with a knock on your door. And this program will also include public service announcements to encourage local citizens to report their neighbors. Unfrickin' believable. This is like Gestapo right here. This is Stalin-like propaganda. And do me a favor, those of you out there in Florida, if you happen to see one of these public service announcements, please, by all means, capture the video, send it over to us, because I have a feeling that we will be monitoring this story every step of the way. So keep, stay tuned for that story as it develops as well. Now, did you hear about this? There's a brand new poll out there that says that 3 out of every 10 registered American voters, they feel that an armed rebellion might be necessary within the next few years. And Marcos, we should probably report these people to that Sheriff Bradshaw in Florida, because I think these people, they hate the government. But no, seriously, folks, this is a very interesting poll. 29% think an armed rebellion might be necessary. 3 in 10 registered American voters believe an armed rebellion might be necessary in the next few years, according to the results of a staggering poll released yesterday by Fairleigh Dickinson University's Public Mind. The survey, aimed at measuring public attitudes toward gun issues, found that 29% of Americans agree with the statement, in the next few years, an armed revolution might be necessary in order to protect our liberties. And an additional 5% were unsure. And if you're wondering where I stand on this issue, well, I will have to refer you to the late, great Charlton Heston, because he's going to tell you exactly how I feel.
From my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, what he said. What he said, come and take it. All right, we're going to switch gears again because I've got some IRS news. This from Washington's blog, and it looks like the IRS is going to spy on our shopping records, our travel engagements, and our social interactions. Plus, they will have access to our health records and data from other government sources. Totally unconstitutional, but most of you will bend over and take it. And we told you, you know, a couple of months ago that all U.S. intelligence agencies, including the CIA, including the NSA, they are going to spy on your finances. So the IRS and U.S. intelligence agencies are staring right into our fishbowl. Meanwhile, we are not allowed to know, you know, anything that they do. We're not allowed to, certainly not allowed to have any access to their transactions, if you will, including what Ron Paul has wanted to do for a very long time, and that is audit the Fed. Hey, the InfoWars Nightly News, we're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we have a developing story concerning the guy. You know the guy. There he is. He's the guy that badgered InfoWars reporter Dan Bedondi the other day, this following the Boston bombings and during the total police state crackdown in Boston. And well, this guy has been basically ridiculing and attacking InfoWars for the past several weeks, including there he is on MSNBC and calling, you know, us all crazy conspiracy theorists and all that good stuff. Well, guess what? I got a phone call from him today, and we had a very interesting conversation. In fact, Rob Dew and I both talked to him. Rob Dew is going to sit down here with me next. We're going to tell you all about that conversation up next on InfoWars Nightly News.
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources. With over 30 years of experience in the precious metals business, I can tell you without a doubt, we are facing the most dangerous and volatile times, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Peace of mind is gold and silver. Now is the time to invest in gold. When it comes to bullion coins, our prices are competitive and the closest to melt. If it's numismatics you're looking for, we have some of the best deals out there. Visit MidasResources.com today or go to InfoWars.com and click on the link to see our daily specials. Here's an example of one of our long-term specials we've been offering for more than a year. Two silver dollars from the turn of the last century, plus two powerful films, The Obama Deception and The American Dream. We also add in the book Dishonest Money, all for $72 and free shipping. The most trusted name in precious metals is Midas Resources. Call 1-800-686-2237 or go to InfoWars.com. I'm Ted Anderson with Midas Resources.
We are now only entering the edge of a global financial superstorm, the likes of which the planet has never seen. Here in the United States, the private Federal Reserve is giving more than $85 billion of taxpayer money a month to themselves and other offshore foreign banks. And the worst part is, we have to pay the bank's interest on the money we give them. There is now a race between the global central bank mafia cartels to see who can devalue their country's currencies the fastest. We are already seeing big increases in inflation at the grocery store and the gas line. This will eventually lead to hyperinflation. More than a dozen top globalists like George Soros have been buying record amounts of gold while at the same time bad-mouthing it to the public. Don't just listen to what they say. Watch what they do. For more than 6,000 years of recorded human history, gold has been the ultimate hedge against uncertain times and inflation. Before investing in metals, it is important to do your own research and find a reputable company. Midas Resources has the highest Better Business Bureau rating of an A+. Unfortunately, very few precious metal companies can boast that. Midas Resources has assembled one of the most educated, researched, and professional teams of brokers in the industry. The evidence is overwhelming. In uncertain times, gold and silver is safe harbor. Now is the time to invest in gold. Call 800-686-2237 and Midas Resources will mail you 10 reasons to own gold absolutely free. No shipping. It's absolutely free. And finally, Ted Anderson wants to challenge you to find any deal that comes close to his two silver dollars at cost with free shipping, with two free films and a book for $72. That's more than $160 value for $72 shipping included. Click the link at Infowars.com to go to the MidasResources.com specials page. Brought to you by MidasResources.com and Ted Anderson, the trusted name in precious metals.
And welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen, and we have some interesting developments concerning the guy whose video has gone viral. This was his confrontation with InfoWars reporter Dan Bondi. I'm sure most of you have seen the video. It went viral. His name is Roger Nicholson. He is an angry Boston resident, and he has, well, an extensive profane vocabulary, and he's been attacking InfoWars religiously for the past couple of weeks. He even appeared on MSNBC a couple of days ago to discuss his confrontation with Dan Bondi and tell everyone that he thinks Alex Jones is completely insane, along with all of you out there, all of you unpatriotic people who follow InfoWars. And we are now joined by InfoWars News Director Rob Dew. You had an explosive interview with this guy just a couple of days ago, and then I'm sitting here preparing for the news today. I get a phone call, and it's Roger. And he was, I guess, I don't think he expected all of the attention that he got from InfoWars. I think he pictured us as like some kind of internet live stream or something, something very small. He was bragging about being on national on MSNBC. Mm-hmm. He agreed to come on our show, and then he called us today, and I passed the phone on to you. What do you have to say?
Right. Well, Roger was very concerned. Paul Watson wrote an article that appeared today. It was May 2nd today. MSNBC guest who attacked InfoWars exposed. And basically, it goes into this video that someone pulled off of his YouTube site and posted it up, which is a common thing. People do it all the time. People grab other people's videos and post them up. And that's kind of a good reason that YouTube, I like that existence of it, that, you know, you might stamp out one fire, but then it grows and whatever. But that video is called Roger Nicholson, Guy Who Confronted InfoWars is a Psychopath. And he did not like the fact that we had that video. He said, you know, he called up saying, you guys are, it's a copyright
violation.
Yeah. And I said, well, let me look at it. And I went and looked at the video. I said, well, that's not a channel associated with us. We just embedded that video. So we're not actually housing it on our website. It's not a copyright.
He's got to go after the guy who posted it on YouTube to begin with, right?
It's none of our business.
Exactly.
Basically is what I told him. I said, you know, we have nothing to do. We're posting that video and no, we're not taking it down. I mean, you know, and he goes, well, you know, I kind of stepped in it. I kind of, you know, got what I, he kind of said he got what he deserved in terms of he attacked us. He fired the first shot by going after Bondi and then posting that thinking, you know, he was a big shot trying to play, take this moral high ground with Dan because Dan was asking questions. And, but I want to go to this article real quick. It's from Paul Joseph Watson. It's called MSNBC Guest Who Attacked InfoWars Exposed. Boston resident Richard Nicholson appeared on MSNBC last week with Martin Bashir to discuss his confrontation of InfoWars reporter Dan Bondi. Actually, it wasn't last week. It was
Just a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was 2 days ago, Tuesday. During which Nicholson accused Bondi of creating offensive show material, which was insensitive to the victims of the Marathon bombings by doubting the official narrative behind the attacks. So from there, we go to the other video that shows Roger on, I guess, somebody's Access TV show. And they're making fun of the Iraqis getting machine gunned And it's that footage where it's all, you know, kind of computerized, and he's making jokes. This is not real. These aren't people. Snides Nicholson as he laughs at the sight of a man being blown to pieces. Do you see this right here? This used to be a person. Now look at him. He's a wet spot on the side of the road.
Jeez.
Remarks Nicholson, adding, I don't know why you just can't laugh at it and get all upset and weepy. And, you know, so here he is trying to say, well, these bombings happened. I knew a friend there, and that was his big beef, that he knew somebody who was there. So he's able to take the moral high ground and say, you can't say anything about these bombings because I knew someone there.
Yep.
Yet if it's other people in other countries that were attacking, by the way, you know, the Iraq war, based on a lie, and I actually told him this morning.
Well, he had no problem with Obama drone striking people either. You guys touched on that a little bit.
I touched on that a little bit. He claims he didn't hear me say about killing the kids. He said he didn't hear, that was an audio glitch, and maybe he didn't hear me.
Skype was cutting out a couple times, maybe.
Right, right. And, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Talking to him on the phone, you know, I don't think he's remorseful what he said. He was, he came out and said what he said, and he knew what he was saying. And he knew the name-calling and kind of these ad hominem attacks, you know, I don't know if that's his strategy, but it doesn't work with InfoWars because, you know, we provide articles. And it's not even articles that we wrote. We were providing other people's material, the FBI connections, the CIA connections.
The New York Times.
The Russian government coming after us.
Yeah.
And so I think at the end, you know, he just wasn't interested in debating facts. You called him or contacted him on Monday.
Yep.
Said, hey, let's do a debate. And, you know, we didn't state any rules. It was just, we're going to debate about these bombs.
Well, he was concerned we're going to edit him and take him out of context.
Right. The only thing we edited were the curse words.
Obviously, yeah.
That was it.
He's got
a gunny sack full of that stuff. And, he wasn't interested in debating on facts or just even looking at what other people have said about this. He was just interested in attacking InfoWars because I guess we've gotten to the size where people think if they just say, you guys are crazy, that other people are going to believe it. You know, you have these Rachel Maddow attacks. She's done two attacks now on us. The second, which, you know, I was pretty good, that hashtag InfoWars pickup line. She tried to be all clever, like, oh, people are making fun of these InfoWars. Well, we went and co-opted it and then started putting up real information, which I'm sure they hated. And we can go to that Twitter page there. Started by a troll, but co-opted by liberty lovers. You're hotter than the thermite used on Building 7. You know, and that was ours. And then other people got in on it. And just, you know, info-bombing them with truth. Because they can't stand up to it. They can say we're crazy.
They can't handle the truth.
Exactly. They can't. They really can't handle the truth. And, we gave Rachel Maddow the Skeksis Award last week for her first attack. And then, you know, we let her go on her second attack. We didn't really say anything, but then we just co-opted her little media blitz on a Twitter page. So I thought that was pretty funny. But I do want to go over a couple things. We have, you know, a new article came out today, and this is from thiscan'tbehappening.net. Sarnoff Brothers had a CIA connection. We posted this today on InfoWars. And if you scroll down to the middle of the article, it talks about Chechen terror and stuff in Russia. It says, now it turns out these two young men suspected of having placed the exploding pressure cooker bombs at the finish line of the marathon, the slain Tamerlan Sarnoff and his imprisoned younger brother, Jakar, have Uncle Ruslan. Remember Uncle Ruslan, who went on and said, these people are scum to me and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
He changed his name from Sarnev after immigrating to the U.S., who was, until 1999, married to Samantha Fuller, daughter of a high-ranking CIA operations officer named Graham Fuller. Fuller, who called any suggestion of links between his former son-in-law and the CIA absurd. I think that's what he's paid to do at that point.
Sure.
Retired from the agency and went to work for who? The RAND Corporation.
Oh, what a coinkity.
Yeah. And if you look at if you go to a Google map and look at the RAND Corporation, it looks like a giant eye. And I'll show them. You can go to that on overhead cam if you can hit it. That's what it looks like from above. It's a building that's shaped like an eye. And in front of the building, there's a giant chain link sculpture that's a mushroom cloud right across the street from it.
There you go. There's some details. The building shot right there, Marcus.
Yeah, there you can see the chain link mushroom cloud, which people say, you know, oh, that's totally unrelated. Why is it sitting right out front of the RAND Corporation?
Yeah.
And then there's an overhead view right there. You can actually see it makes a giant eye. And it's right there in Santa Monica near that famous pier, you know, like a couple blocks from there. I actually went with Alex and we shot a few videos in front of it when we were in L.A. for some reason. Oh, for Jesse Ventura's birthday, actually.
Oh, cool.
quite an interesting event. And then the other, you know, there's a Mail Online article. Russia warned FBI about Boston Bomber multiple times, but feds are more interested than Al-Qaeda than the Chechens. And we also have a London Telegraph article that they interviewed him in 2011, the FBI did. And yet we're supposed to think these guys have no idea, the FBI have no idea who these guys are after they've been casing the family for years.
Besides the fact that the FBI has a long history of
yes.
You know, false flag terror attacks, I was going to say World Trade Center 1993 and so on.
Right, and we went into that. And now I want to go to a video clip, and this is actually from World Trade Center 93, the bombing in 93. The informant that the FBI had on their payroll paid him $1.5 million, Ahmad Salam.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually started taping conversations with his FBI handlers. And he's talking about, it starts off the clip, the FBI agents telling him, you know, you got to turn in your expenses the right way. So that way, you know, this is a government operation.
Yeah.
Because everything's got to be done by the book. You know, if we're going to like create bombs and we got to do it all by the book, and it all has to be expense reported. and then it goes into Salam talking about the
bomb. Well, that's the thing. Everything was documented. And
right.
This guy bugged the FBI basically to save
his ass. Kind of turned the tables on him.
Yep.
So let's go to that clip now.
And it'd be a nice payment. I'm just telling you for the future, and what the expenses, they just don't want to buy in on $500 of expenses. That's all. We're just going to have to give me the, you know, some of the expenses, and they'll pay what operationally they are allowed to pay.
Let me think about it.
Don't think it. There's nothing to think about.
Of course I have to think about it.
You got paid regularly for good information.
If that's what you think, guy, is fine. But I don't think that, because we was start already building the bomb, which is went off in the World Trade Center. It was built by supervision from the Bureau and the GA, and we was all informed about it, and we know that the bomb start to be built. By who? By your confidential informant. What a wonderful, great case.
Cool.
And then he put his head in the sand.
And that was the FBI informant, Ahmad Salam.
That is amazing.
Basically, that was just one of the conversations. There's like 900 pages of these transcripts. And William Kunstler, in a news report a long time ago, said it's gross government misconduct. I think everybody at that time was so shocked, because this stuff really hadn't come out in the open of the FBI getting these informants and stuff. I think people just didn't even really want to believe it back then. You know,
and I remember Dan Rather reported on it, and some people say, well, look, the mainstream media reported on it, but like we say, they didn't beat the drum. I mean, it went once and it disappeared.
It wasn't like Benghazi.
Exactly, exactly.
That's sort of a political football, but it's still wrong.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is wrong, but because it was a political thing, then Fox News jumped on it. But with this World Trade Center thing, it's Muslim terrorists. We all got to just get behind and go after the Muslim terrorists.
Hey, what do you want to say to the people out there who, because I know that Roger is getting a lot of hate mail. He says he's even getting threats.
Yeah.
Let's address that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not running protection or cover for this guy at all. I mean, he made his own decisions.
Absolutely.
He said what he wanted to say. You know, we gave him the opportunity to come on and debate, and he wasn't interested in that. So I think now he's realized that he's bit off a little bit more than he can chew. But what I want to say to the InfoWarriors out there is, you know, if you want to go comment on his stuff, put stuff on his Facebook, you know, come with an open hand, not with a closed fist. Send him articles, send him videos, send him stuff that, you know, he probably won't look at. I sent him a ton of articles after our debate saying, hey, just take a look at this stuff and, you know, maybe make a video, you know, saying, hey, well, you know, I looked at some of this information and some of it may have a point here, you know, as the reason why they said the FBI might be involved in this.
You never know. I've seen people much further deep into the matrix who have actually woken up.
Right. And, you know, all you can do is plant a seed. You know,
you gotta
plant the seed because, you know, maybe Roger is a catalyst for 1,500 other people across the U.S. to wake up and be like, wow, I really thought these guys were crazy, but now I look at this other guy just totally attacking them with name calling and not even talking about the facts of anything. Just like all this name calling and ad hominem attacks instead of looking at the facts and even arguing about the facts. Because let's argue about the facts if you want to do that. So I would say, you know, just, go after, you know, don't go after Roger. Let's go after the system. But, you know, feel free to send Roger information. I think, you know, we should all inform people, especially when they are asleep, And hey, if they don't want to learn, move on. There's plenty of other people out there that need to be awakened. There's a lot of people that just since we've started getting bigger in the last year or so, just like really started ballooning up, I get a lot of emails. Man, I just woke up. I don't know what to do. These people who are just like, they're coming up for air. Yep. They've been underwater for so long, oppressed by this system that wants to control you and make you do things that you're not really interested in doing, but you think you have to do it because the system tells you that way.
Yeah. So, and before we go, you know, it reminds me of, like, and I understand we have Luke on the phone, so we'll cut this short, but everybody knows where they were. Let's say if you're old enough to witness the Kennedy assassination, everybody can right. tell you exactly where they were at the time.
Yeah.
Everybody knows where they were during 9/11. And, you know, we get the same thing, maybe not the actual moment, but the year. Like we'll say, we get people saying, I've been awake. You know, my uncle woke me up in 2005.
Right.
Or you woke me up. InfoWars woke me up after I saw, you know, a certain video or whatever by Alex. And I've been awake since 2008. Once you're awake, you can never go back to sleep.
You can never go back to sleep. I get a lot of people who wake up after all the stuff we did on the underwear bomber. And I would have loved to debate him on that because I feel that is, I mean, I hit that thing on the ground running, like right when it happened.
Sure.
We were making Police State 4. I started putting all the information together. I studied that subject left and right. I went up and visited Kurt
That's
Haskell.
Right. You were there
did
with Kurt Haskell.
A 2-hour interview with him. And I mean, it's an open and shut case.
Absolutely.
And you know,
Absolutely.
The book is that Patrick Kennedy, testimony where he says, you know, we let him get on. We didn't cancel his visa because we wanted to look at his larger network.
That's
but then
right.
they act like, oh, we didn't know this guy was going to go. Now we need body scanners, which is total bull.
That's right. All right. Well, we got Luke on the phone. Thanks for coming out.
All right.
All right. We got to quickly go to break because on the phone right now waiting for me is the founder of We Are Changed, Luke Radowski. We're going to talk about some of his latest videos that he has posted on the We Are Changed YouTube channel, plus wearechanged.org. We're also going to talk about the police state crackdown in Boston. Luke Radowski up next after this. Stick around.
The important thing about the Pro One filter today is that the material we use for removing fluoride and other heavy metals now will remove the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid. There's no other fluoride reduction filter out there that will remove that type of fluoride. And it's extremely important because today we're hearing more and more cities are using that form of fluoride.
We've been having medication forced on us through the water system for quite a while. Most people don't realize it. Most people don't realize the negative effects of fluoride.
There's a wide range of health effects that are attributed to fluoride.
Bottom line, why should somebody get this new Pro One ProPure filter?
The reason to buy the Pro One, it's an all-in-one filter. It's convenient, easy to use. It doesn't require the add-on fluoride filter. And in addition, this filter removes the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Black boots kicking doors in, man. That's what's to come. That's what's happening right now as we speak. The masses of the people that have voted for Barack Obama was groomed well via MTV, BET, and some of the multinational corporations that influence entertainment, arts, and culture. The people that control the media could probably fit right in this room with snacks right around. Monsanto's, the World Army, FEMA camps, World Bank, Federal Reserve, those who constructed the Patriot Act, all of them in bed. There's so many wicked things going on in the government that, hell, we can't even tell you. You don't have the card. You don't know the handshake. You don't know the code word. And you need to kind of get used to that. We're doing it. We're putting together the documents. We're putting together the websites and the information. InfoWarriors are going out spreading the truth.
All
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. And, you know, every day I get tons of email from people who send us links to the latest breaking headlines. They send us show tips. We get a lot of videos sent to us. Sometimes it's videos of police brutality, or it might be with how someone dealt with an unconstitutional checkpoint, for example. You name it, we've seen it all. And we have literally thousands of activists out there, 1,000 Paul Revere's, if you will, that are sending us information, videos to try to help us, to try to help you wake up the masses and break people out of the matrix. Now, this morning, a friend of mine in Los Angeles sent me an email of a video by Luke Radowski from We Are Change. And it's a video that I had never seen before. And this was during a protest in New York City, where Luke was approached by an angry New York City police officer, and he demanded that Luke shut off his camera. It developed into an interesting confrontation, and we're going to take a look at it right now.
Stop using it. It's his property.
You're not taking mine.
It's his property. Stop. Stop.
No,
stop.
Are you kidding me?
Stop.
Did I touch you? I didn't touch
you. Yeah, you touched my finger, right?
I did not. Stop it.
Let's relax. Everything's going to work out. Just relax.
I took it.
Because he was using it.
If you want to write a ticket, write a ticket.
He doesn't have ID.
I can't confiscate my stuff.
Just relax.
Put the camera away.
With all due respect, I have a First Amendment right as a New York City journalist to record
Where's
any conversation. I don't need to show you ID.
Where's
just because I'm
ID?
I have my press pass in my bag, and I can show you it. But even I don't have to show you it.
And number one, it's not illegal to film. And if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't mind me filming. If you're doing something wrong, and that's when you don't want me to film.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Officer Smith. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. Can I have my ID back?
I have my
name.
He said he's a journalist. I want to see a journalist ID.
I'm looking for it right now.
Oathkeepers.org. It's a new organization.
Here, I have mine.
An active police and military.
Not that it matters.
To reaffirm.
Yeah, it's not in my bag now.
Put the camera away.
I have every right as a citizen of the United States of America.
Not a journalist. Put the camera away.
I have every right to film.
I'm telling you right now.
Sir, I know my right.
Well, first of all, lying to a police officer, okay?
I'm not lying to a police officer.
No, then raise your press pass.
Because I have...
Raise your press pass.
I don't have it with me, but he has a press pass. It doesn't matter. I have a business card that says I'm a journalist here.
I don't know who you are.
It does matter. Even if I'm not a journalist, I have every right to record you, sir.
Actually, no, you don't.
Yes, I do. The
Constitution. No, you do not.
It's not a police investigation.
First of all, it's not in the Constitution.
I didn't impede.
You can quote the Constitution.
It's the First Amendment, New York State, and New York City law, municipal law, penal law.
First of all, state law is not covered by the Constitution.
Yes, but it has its own Constitution. That I read and I studied.
Know what you're talking about first.
I have every right to film.
Know what you're talking about first.
If you're doing nothing wrong, you shouldn't mind me filming. If you're not doing nothing wrong, you shouldn't mind me filming. You're a public servant. I'm an American. You're an American. You're supposed to serve the people. And that's what it's all about. You should have no problem with me filming. No problem at all right now, officer. If you're not doing anything wrong, what's the wrong? You film us. Everybody films us.
Where's my camera?
You have it on your car. You have it on your car.
I have it in my car?
Exactly.
Check out my car. Okay?
Every police car has a camera.
No, they do not. Okay, once again, you know what you're talking about. Okay?
Police officers record other things. We have every right to record.
We gotta go.
We have every right to film. Your boss just told you to.
We got traffic flowing.
I just said I don't drive,
man. You do.
We have every right to film, and whenever a police officer tries to intimidate you and scare you, remember, This is mightier than any sword you will ever find. Use it, get it, and know your rights. Stand up, people. Look up wearechange.org.
That's right. In modern times, the camera can indeed be mightier than the sword. And now we are joined by the man behind the camera and the founder of We Are Changed, Luke Radowski. Luke, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you know, that cop was pretty clueless, and, you know, thank God you had your camera. You were able to capture the film, and that you managed to defuse the situation. But this is alarming, because I'm seeing a trend right now. I'm seeing a lot more police officers behave this way. I mean, is this guy's attitude, is this like the future of police in America? What do you think?
I mean, it's slowly heading that way, especially if we all don't stand up and our rights. I mean, rights are just like muscles. If we don't use them, they're going to become weak, they're going to become pathetic, and it's going to get ugly. But if we, the individuals listening right now, empower ourselves with the law, with the Constitution, with just knowing the basic regulations and stand up to authority, anything could change. I mean, even yesterday, I had a great experience when I was covering protests down in May Day and in New York City, and I was covering everything that was happening. There was a lot of police officers, and I had this one cop run up to me, and I was like, oh, man, what's going to happen? And then out of nowhere, he reaches his hand out. He was like, Luke, I love your work, man. Keep it up. And he shook my hand, and I was like, man, I hope your bosses don't see that, because they do crack down on police officers who are sympathetic. So I did have great experiences with police officers. At the same time, I do have horrible experiences with police officers. And this video that we released is nothing compared to all the other footage we have that is still unreleased. I mean, we have incidences of police officers just smacking the camera, assaulting us, and us, you know, simply standing up for our rights. There is nothing wrong with filming a police interaction. And if we all stand up for our rights, if we all understand the law, if we all have just common sense and take pride in just knowing that we can stand up, it won't become a police state, but the possibilities is there. It's slowly encroaching on us. Sadly, there are still officers who are clueless about the law, officers who just want to bully people, but I think the more we stand up, the more we speak up, the less of that is going
to
happen.
Well, that's good to hear that, you know, police officers are coming up to you wanting to shake your hand. We get the same thing here in Austin. A lot of police officers are listeners to InfoWars. They watch the InfoWars nightly news. But at the same time, it seems like it's the younger guys to me. It seems, I don't know if they're being trained this way. I don't know what the deal is. But a lot of these guys are extremely aggressive. You've had your share of run-ins with police officers, guns pointed at you. You know, you've been there and done that. And, you know, there's another video. I want to share another video with you. This is a clip. This is a recent clash between InfoWars reporter Dan Bedondi and an aggressive police officer out in Boston. This was during the police state crackdown in Boston following the, the manhunt for the suspected bombers. And, they barricaded the entire neighborhood, and Dan Bedondi managed to capture this. Let's take a look.
Anyone cross the line, they'll be taken into custody. Media, civilian, anyone. Okay?
This is a police state, yeah. Are you telling us to...
Cross the police line, you'll be taken into custody.
New World Order property, yeah. Thanks for serving the Constitution, sir. Here, right there.
Are you with the media?
Yes,
media
I am.
Credentials? Let me see them.
Yes, I am.
You see media credentials? Free speech systems?
The number one alternative media in the world, so...
Okay. Well, Dan, we work together or work separate? No matter to me. Stay behind the line.
Oh, could you please tell us what's going on? I mean, like, did they blow up the bombs yet?
Sir, your behavior right now seems to be a little irrational to me. This is a very fluid and dangerous situation.
I understand.
So if you don't stop talking, you're going to be removed. Press or no press? Sir, you seem to be a little irrational right now.
I'm not irrational. It's live on camera. Am I irrational?
I'm glad I didn't shave this morning, okay? Listen, your behavior to me appears to be irrational, confrontational, and this is a very dangerous, fluid situation. If you're not understanding me, I'll take it a step further and help you understand.
One question, though. Who's going to give us information?
And that, my friends, is the face of tyranny. And I got to hand it to you guys. You know, Dan Bedondi, you, Luke, you guys are out there and...
I'm afraid I would lose my temper and probably go to jail if I had some of these run-ins that you guys face. But you're able to, you know, cool heads do prevail. You're able to defuse the situation 9 times out of 10. And, you know, I was on your YouTube channel and I thought it was interesting. Sometimes if you go to jail, the cops will take your footage and they will erase and delete all the information or all the footage from your camera. Illegally, I might add. And I know there was a guy in Miami who had his footage erased by the police, but he was able to recover the deleted footage. I thought that was very interesting. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
I mean, similar situations have happened to me when I was arrested for trying to question Mayor Bloomberg. My DV tape was totally destroyed. I had to get it restored. But recently when I was down in Miami, I met up with Alex of Federal Jack and Hack Miami. And he had a very crazy, insane story when he was just filming police officers. They grabbed him, tackled him, choked him, and then they deleted his footage because he wouldn't tell the cops who he was with. But Alex was actually a hacktivist. He's a hacker. And he was actually able to go get forensic software and recover the video footage. And once he recovered that video footage, all the media started talking about it. It went viral online. All the charges were dropped against him, and now he's a part of a lawsuit against the Miami Police Department. And then later it came out that that police officer who arrested him was arrested later for kidnapping and extorting a random person. The story is just insane. It's on our YouTube channel, but it shows you, you know, even though negative things do happen, we could use technology and the internet to actually prevent these things from happening and actually clear the wrongs. We also just released another story from Antonio Bueller, who was, you know, arrested and used Craigslist to find video of the cop lying and setting him up, and he was able to drop the felony charges that he was facing. So we do have these tools in front of us. We do have cell phone video cameras. We do have technology to restore videos. We do have other people who are going to start filming interactions with the police department. We have all these tools. They're in our grasp. We pretty much have the truth in our hands, and it's up to all of us as individuals to go out there and use it to its full potential. And we're happy to hear successful stories like Alex and Anthony and Antonio and everything that we went through. It was only due to the technological advances. It is a double-edged sword, but we have to, as a whole larger public, start using them. And once we do, things will get a lot better.
Well, you know, and it seems like wherever the action is, you are always there. And, you know, as soon as the massive manhunt took place in Boston, I just knew you were going to be there. And what was funny is I was watching a video of Dan Bondi, once again, who was out there covering the scene, and he was being badgered and heckled by an angry Boston resident. I don't know if you saw that video. It went viral on YouTube. And as I'm watching it, there's Luke in the background. I could see you back there. And I was curious because we haven't had a chance to talk about your experience out there. Lawrence O'Donnell, the MSNBC host who you've interviewed several times, he recently, I think it was just a couple days ago, he ridiculed people like Ron Paul, saying that there was no police state in Boston. Ron Paul is crazy. You were there. You happened to, you know, talk to people who were there. What kind of reaction did you get from the people who were locked down during that time?
Yeah, we were actually there in Watertown as state, federal, and local authorities were going door-to-door pointing guns at individuals. And a lot of the residents that we talked to that just got their, you know, home searched, that just had the, you know, just had all these paramilitary guys in their house, were visibly shaken, visibly afraid. Some of them, you know, allowed it to happen. Some of them tried to resist it from happening, but they were still forcefully under duress, you know, thrown away all their rights, and a lot of them were not happy. Some of them didn't mind it, but you could still see the effect it had on the community at large. Whether it was justified or not, it definitely did terrify that small community, everything that they had to go through, that they had to undergo. We initially got a report from the police department that it was voluntary searches, but then after talking to the residents, we found out that they weren't asking if they could have permission to enter homes. They were just forcefully entering people's homes to search for the suspect, of course. So it was definitely frightening being there. myself, the security was very, very intense. There was police and officers everywhere. We, you know, had to go through multiple checkpoints. We were searched ourselves. Other journalists on the scene were told to lay on the ground as they were searched. So it was a very, very touchy, very intense situation to be in. But luckily, we were able to go there and get the point of view of the residents that the mainstream media wasn't talking about. We talked to some of the friends of the suspects, and it just leaves me with a lot of questions. And it leaves a lot of people there, also the residents, who, you know, aren't really just even theorizing about anything, but they just have questions about what's happening. And sadly, they weren't getting the answers that they truly needed.
Are you finding that a lot less people rely or trust the mainstream media, the people that you talk to, because they're seeing it? I'm sure they're glued to their TVs the entire time this is going down, but do you find that more people don't trust the media like they used to?
Media still has some power. They still influence people. We also talked to Aaron Burnett when we were down there, and sadly, they do kind of spread this society, this culture of fear. You know, they kept replaying the bombing footage, and they kept replaying gory pictures and images over and over again, installing fear in everybody. And they still are a powerful branch. But after just talking to people, it was great seeing random people who I never met before that I just walked up next to and asked if I could talk to, who didn't believe it and did have their own and had their own questions about everything that transpired and didn't just take it fully. So it was great seeing that, but at the same time, that fear that the media and the panic that the media caused was still very prevalent in Boston.
Well, I'll tell you what's kind of scary. You know, less than a week after the Boston police state crackdown, there was an incident in Oakland, California, where the California Highway Patrol, FBI, SWAT teams, they barricaded several city blocks, and they went in and they arrested people, presumably for drugs and illegal weapons. I mean, they refused to even answer or, you know, there's news crews that were out there asking them what's going on. They refused to answer any questions. But once again, you know, it was a massive show of force. And I think what they're trying to do is I think they're trying to get people used to seeing militarized police on the streets of America. We're seeing it more and more, and I think this is, you know, basically conditioning. What do you think?
Well, we saw that right after 9/11. First, all these apparatuses are built up to fight terrorism, and then we find the FBI manuals, then we find the declassified documents where they start classifying patriots and people who don't believe the mainstream media as potential terrorist suspects. So they're building up the apparatuses. They're using the Boston bombers as an excuse to build up this police state, and then they're going to start using it against drug dealers. Then they're going to start using it against immigrants or any other criminal group, and they're going to normalize this huge potential use of force against the citizenry. And then sooner or later, potentially, it will go against people who don't believe them, people who don't believe the government and don't trust the media. So slowly we see these apparatuses building, and we have to question the motives on how far they could go. We have to stand up to them. We have to make sure that our liberties are not trampled, because if they are, in one particular case, they're going to do it again and again and again and expand it even further. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's why it's time to put a stop to it. It's time to stand up. It's time to question everything. And it's time to make a stand for humanity. I mean, it's now or never. Time is very limited. Life is very short. And it's really in our hands. It's in our grasp. And it depends where we want to take it. We could either allow all these things to happen, or we can make a stand, and we're here willing to make a stand.
Well, I'm into that, and it certainly is good to have you on our side. And, you know, for those of you out there who are new to InfoWars, perhaps you've never gone to We Are Change, it's wearechange.org is the website. They have a tremendous presence on YouTube, their YouTube channel. Man, I literally can spend hours on that channel. And, Luke, I don't know if you know, as I don't get a chance to talk to you as much as I'd like to, but there isn't a weekend that goes by that I don't at least go there for a little bit and see what you've been up to lately. So, you know, there's a lot going on there, and I encourage everybody to go check out the YouTube channel. What's next for We Are Change? I imagine you're going to Bilderberg?
Yeah, right now, I mean, we love doing this. We put everything on the line. We cut every corner we can to save money. We have no owners. We have no bosses. We have nobody telling us what to do except the people listening right now. And right now we're trying to raise money on WeAreChange.org to fundraise our efforts so we could actually go to Bilderberg in the UK and provide live video streaming, make video reports, investigate what happens. And we could only do that with your support. So we're trying to go get over to Bilderberg. We're trying to get the full story of exactly what's going to be happening there. We need a continued presence there. We need to expose what's happening there. And if people want to see more video reports, if they want to see the live video coverage, support us and we'll do our best and we'll put our butts on the line to make sure Bilderberg is exposed for what it should be.
Well, that's right. And We Are Change, truly citizen journalism at its best. Luke, thank you. I have a feeling that we will be seeing you at Bilderberg. My feeling is that God's definitely going to send you there. Thanks for joining us today, and definitely come back and see us sometime in the near future.
Thank you so much for having me, and keep up the great work.
All right, thank you, Luke. All right, don't forget, folks, you can go to WeAreChange.org, donate to the organization. Help Luke get to Bilderberg. I promise you, once he gets there, he's going to bring back some fantastic interviews and footage from the Bilderberg meeting out there in England this year. Is that right? That's right. All right, that's going to do it for tonight's show. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Before we go, this just in, check it out. It's the brand new InfoWars magazine, and I have not gotten a chance to look at this yet. This is brand new. I mean, literally this minute. Check this out. This, my friends, I think that's the best cover we've had so far. This should be a poster. I mean, that is awesome. And then I understand there they are. They got bumper stickers right there inside and the back cover as well. Pretty freaking cool. All right, you can get this on our website, InfoWarsShop.com. Be sure to get a copy today. That, once and for all, is going to do it for the show. We'll return tomorrow night, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. We'll see you again tomorrow. Good night.